Let's turn to the book of Jude. Jude will begin reading from verse 17. If you like, let's read it from verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's just pray together, shall we? Again, O God, we are truly grateful for the privilege that is given to us to be in your house this afternoon. Lord, it pleased you to gather us this morning. And we did pray that you be with us, and Lord, you honor that prayer. Now we ask again, our Father in heaven, be pleased to honor yourself this afternoon. We pray that may God the Holy Spirit indeed engrave the truth of your word upon our hearts and cause us to implement that which we hear for our own growth. To give commands to the saints in contending for the faith. In the first 16 verses of Jude, he issued no imperatives. Instead, he makes comparison between what was happening in Jude's time and what history speaks of such individuals. He wants the saints to be constantly aware of the false teachers that have come in the church. Now in this section that we are beginning this afternoon, we see Jude, or we note Jude, giving imperatives. And these imperatives are a call for agency, but also a call for consistency in our walk with God. In verse 17, the imperative there is, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ had said or taught. In verse 21, the imperative there is, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 22, the imperative there is, have mercy on those who doubt. In verse 23, the imperative there is, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. And again, in verse 23, he's actually It's the beginning there is save others. It's not necessarily saying that we have the power to save them from their sins, but it's basically saying there are those who are being deceived. Snatch them from such false teachers, and we'll look at them as we get to verse 23. And so the imperatives in verse 17 and verse 22, remember and keep yourselves, speaks of agency. Jude has just given us this vivid picture of these individuals who are wreaking havoc in the church of Christ, and he calls for agency to remember what the apostles taught as an antidote to fighting these false teachers, but also to keep yourselves in the love of God. And then the other imperatives, keep, the other imperatives, have mercy, save others and show mercy, call for consistency in the lives of believers. Jude is saying, this must be your habit as believers, to be constantly showing mercy, to constantly be snatching those who are being deceived, but also to constantly having mercy on others. This must be our habit as we respond to the false teachings around, that when people look at us, they'll be able to show a contrast between these false teachers who are making so much noise and these individuals or this group of individuals who are very practical in their response to their faith. Now in this session that we're beginning this afternoon from verse 17, what Jude is doing is something similar to what manufacturers do. Almost anything you buy will have two instructions. The first is the owner's manual to show you how to operate the equipment that you've bought. And the other instruction are a warning. At least there's always a warning to show you that this is not how this thing ought to operate. And these two, when they are put together in the equipment that you buy, the manufacturer wants you to be aware how to operate, but also to be aware of how not to operate the equipment that you bought. In a sense, this is what Jude is doing. He's first of all begun to show us these false teachers, and he begins by warning us that those of us who are in the church, these are the dangers we are in. And then he begins to give us what is the manufacturer's manual on how to go about combating or contending for the faith. And so what Jude is trying to do as he draws to an end of his letter is to help us know how to live our Christian lives in the midst of all these false teachings, of all these apostasy. Jude wants us to know how to consistently live our faith in such times. And he gives a strategy, practical strategies for living our Christian lives in the face of spiritual pressures and false teachings. And what he's doing there is basically giving us antidotes to false teachings. And the first one he gives us, which we'll be looking at this evening, is the fact that we need to be alert to the threat of apostasy in the church. There's need for us to be alert to the threat of apostasy in the church. And as he does that, the first sign of alertness that we see in our passage is to remember apostles foretold. To remember what the apostles foretold. Verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jude is basically saying, if we are going to contend for the faith, if we are going to become everything that God wants us to be, or God calls us rather to be, we need to bring to remembrance what the apostles foretold. Or to put it plainly, Jude is basically saying, we need to know what the scriptures say concerning our times. And it begins with a conjunction, but he's just from giving us vivid pictures of these apostasies, these false teachers. And then he gets to verse 17 and brings in that conjunction, but to show that there's a contrast between what he has been saying and now what he's beginning to address. And this contrast is now targeting the Christians, the saints, the very people he had addressed when he began in verse 1 and verse 2, all the way up to verse 3. He gets back to addressing them and is basically saying to them that you, brethren, you who've come to know the truth, you who've come to appreciate the truth of the scriptures, you must be in their habit of bringing to remembrance the things you've heard, the things you've learned, the things that the scriptures teach in this last time. And he says, but you, using the American Standard Version, puts it, but you, beloved, ought to remember the predictions of the apostles. The ESV puts it this way, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And both when you read the ESV and the American Standard Version, Jude is putting the weight on the Christians. He's saying what the apostles had said is actually happening. So it's not so much you beginning to chase after all these false teachers and putting tags as false teachers or calling them by name. No, the onus is on you. You must know what the truth is and live out the truth even in these times. You remember in verse 5, Jude had commended the saints about the things they knew. Jude chapter 1, verse 5. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. In verse 5, he was commending the believers about the things they knew. And he was reminding them about the things they knew. But now in verse 17, he sees the saints not of reminding them of the things they know, but of issuing direct commands concerning the things they know. And he's saying, the things that you know, don't just bring them to remembrance, but leave them out. He is saying, one way you are going to combat the false teachings that is going around is for you to know what the apostles taught, what the gospel is, and this is what will help you to defend yourself against the pernicious attacks of the heretics, the false teachers. He is saying, bring to mind. And the word that he uses is, remember, beloved. And that word remember gives us the idea of keeping in mind, keeping in mind something for attention or consideration. Do you see the usage of this word remember in the New Testament? Most of the times this word is used gives us a sense of recalling information from memory. Recalling information you have from memory. Turn with me to Acts. And you see how that word is used. It's about Cornelius. Acts chapter 10. It is in verse 31, but let's just read it from verse 32. It was told from the state. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Now that's the same word, remember, that Jude is using. In the case of Cornelius, the angel of the Lord who appeared to him is actually saying, look, what you've done has been kept in mind for the attention or for consideration. And therefore, this is what God is doing. Someone is coming to attend to you. And later when you read, the apostles went to the house of Cornelius. And Jude is using that same word. And again, the same word, remember, is used in Luke chapter 23, the thief on the cross. Luke chapter 23. I know you know the story, but I just want us to read verse 42. Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. Well, let's pick it up from verse 41. And we indeed, that's the thief responding, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Verse 42. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, the word remember there in Luke is the same word in Acts chapter 10, is the same word that Jude is using in verse 17. And the idea there is recording information from memory, or keeping for the attention of someone, or the consideration of something or someone. And so when you get the case of the thief on the cross, there is the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging helplessly, and he sees something in Christ, and he's telling him that when you return as king, please bring this to memory and remember me in your kingdom. And he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows that this is the king, and he believes something about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, please remember me. He's basically saying, stop this moment to memory, so that when the time comes when you are king, bring it to remembrance and remember me. And this is the idea that Jude is really giving us here. He's commanding those who are loved by God, those who have a special relationship with God because of Christ, those who've come to know the forgiveness of sin in Christ, he's saying, treasure the truth of God's word in memory, so that in such moments of religious heresy, in such moments of false teaching, you can recall the truth of the scripture. trusting the saints to be in the habit of memorizing the scriptures and using that to defend the truth of the scriptures. Because it is the saints who know what is at stake with what is going on in the name of Jesus, which is not biblical. It's those who come to appreciate the truth of God who know that all this is not honoring God in any way. And Jude is saying, that's the responsibility you have. That's the task you have to bring to remembrance what the apostles say about the last time and what will be prevailing in the last days. And he's saying that's how we'll be alert to the threat of apostasy in the church. Now, imagine you're in Jude's audience, where we don't have a Bible like the one I have. You don't even have a Bible on your gadgets. How are they to know whether what is being said is from God's word? It's because those who are called of God developed the habit of memorizing God's word. So that even if they're in a place and they don't have the scrolls as it were nearby, they can tell this is not from what the apostles teach. But we have the scriptures bound in one book. The books of the Bible. And oftentimes days can go without reading the scriptures. And also we live at a time when you can easily have access to the scriptures. But Jude's audience did not have the privilege we have. But yet we're still being told to know the scriptures and to commit the scriptures to memory. The best weapon against false teaching is to know God's word and what it says. And the question we need to wrestle with, are we daily, moment by moment, recalling to our minds God's word in order that his truth may reinforce our faith, and that the truth that is reinforcing our faith will enable us to hold the truth of God's word, but also act at the same time as a shield of faith to quench all those fiery missiles of heresies. Are we committing God's word to remembrance? And you see, Jude takes it for granted that the people he's writing to, they know what the apostles taught. And he's saying, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. He takes it for granted that if you are the beloved of God, saved by the grace of God in Christ, you will be in a habit to delight to know what God says, and as you delight to know what God says, you will be in a habit of memorizing the things that God says, so that at any given point you are ready to say what the apostles taught, to say what the apostles record for us in the scriptures. So this is how we're going to be alert to the threat of apostasy. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions One of the best ways to recall to mind God's truth is to memorize God's truth, to know it and to know it well. Oftentimes when I'm standing for this, I'm going to find here, when our projectors are not working, our door is standing. What would happen if persecution comes and we fled to the mountains and there are no hymn books? Are we ever going to worship God? Or it will be the same songs over and over until we get tired of the songs and just wait for the return of Christ? But how much more memorizing the scriptures? We must memorize the scriptures. The false teachers know the minds of human beings, and worse still, the minds of us as Africans. And they'll be parading in churches and misquoting the scriptures, sometimes not even quoting the scriptures, but making it sound like it's from the scriptures. And they know they will not be challenged because the people themselves are not even so sure whether that is from God's word or not. I remember once, a few years before I began my internship, where I was still working, I got on a bus and so there were two ladies. I was talking about something, I was trying to mind my business, but when you're on a public bus and people are loud and they appear as if they've really paid for you, so you must listen to what they're saying. And then one of them says, read the Bible says, and really misquoted the scriptures. And I said, I really tried to mind my business. But you've gone to the Bible. So where in the Bible does that say? No, it's somewhere. I say, yeah, where? So she mentioned the gospel, and thankfully I had my Bible. So I went there, I said, which verse? So I went to the verse. What she was saying had nothing to do with the verse. She said, no, maybe it's in the Psalm. I said, which one? Again, we went there. It was the same thing. And clearly she realized that there was something on the Bible, so it's easy to check. I said, no, I'm not just so sure, but I know it's in the Bible. I said, that's what you said, it's not in the Bible. And again, there was another time I was at the memorial park for the funeral of the relative. Again, someone quotes from the book of Job. And that was not even from the book of Job. And they shared. You know, at funerals, you had to assume no one had the Bible, but I had mine on the floor. Afterwards, instead of mourning, I followed him. That verse, brother, where in Job? So we sat under it. I said, look, you've lied to the mourners, so just at some point have the courage to go and apologize, because what you are saying was not from the Bible. Now, I'm not saying I memorized the verses. I had the phone, I had the Bible on my phone. But the point here is, there will be such moments when people will claim this is from the Bible. And before long, everyone is assuming it's from the Bible. And off they'll go, thinking that one's from the Bible, and they'll go mislead others. Before long, everyone is thinking that is from the Bible. And here we are being encouraged to know the scriptures. Those of you, I'd like to move into my second point. Those of you who are friends from the SDS, just ask one of them, they're very good at quoting godliness is next to, cleanness is next to godliness. And they make it sound as if there's actually a verse that says that in the Bible. Ask them which verse. And you see, they'll be at pains really trying to find where that verse is. Because this phrase has made its way, it's round so much that we've all accepted. There must be a verse that says that in the Bible. But we're being encouraged to know and remember what the apostles foretold. But the second sign of alertness to the threat of apostasy in the church is to recognize these false teachers. We need to recognize these false teachers. Verse 18 and 19. Let's begin from verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. The second sign he gives as of that of being alert to the threat of the apostasy in the church is to be able to recognize who these false teachers are. And Judas said, you can know them as you look at the following. Is this true of them? Are they individuals who are scoffers, living for their own ungodly passions, causing divisions, worldly or sensual pursuits, individuals who do not have the Spirit of God? And Jude is saying this will be the case in the last times, in the last days. This will be true. And since it will be true, we must remember the apostles' teachings and must be able to recognize those who teach a contrary doctrine to that which the apostles taught. Now, in the Bible, the phrase "the last time" is almost a technical phrase, basically telling us the time from the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, his death, up to his second coming. All that is referred to as the last time. And so the Bible divides the world history into two. Before the coming of Christ, which are the former days or the former times, and the coming of Christ is death and looking forward to his coming. And so from the time Christ was born into this world and was nailed to the cross, all that until he returns is referred to as the last days. And that's why I want to know that Jude and his audience, we are living in the last times. So are we as well. Living in the last times. And that's why the message of Jude is still urgently relevant to us even today, even though it was penned down years ago. Because from Jude to our present day, till Christ comes, we are in the last days. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 13 and verse 10, what will be characteristics of the last day? The gospel will be preached in many nations, yes. But also the church will face persecutions, trials, and they will be bombarded by false teachers. And this is what Christ said. This is what the apostles said. And this is what Jude is also reminding us. And he's saying the way we're going to recognize these false teachers, firstly, is to see what is characteristic for their conduct? What is it that is true about them? And Jude tells us these individuals are scoffers. Or they are mockers. These are individuals who use ridicule as a weapon. Individuals who, when they think of the demands of Christ, they think of the second coming of Christ, they begin to mock those who what the scriptures are saying concerning the return of Christ. And the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, also writes about the scoffers. Second Peter chapter 3, when he's talking about the day of the Lord, the coming of the day, this is what he said, verse 1. This is now the second letter that I'm writing. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that we should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Now in the case of Peter, when you look at the context, Peter is talking about these false teachers as scoffers in connection or relation to the second coming of Christ. And he's saying these individuals, when they think of the second coming of Christ, their lives clearly shows that they are living in total objection to what Christ says about the second coming. And so from what Peter is saying and from what Jude is saying, we can clearly see that these scoffers, they're not only unbiblical, but they are against biblical truth. And so when you try to press them concerning the truth, they will respond in a way as though they're mocking or scoffing at you, thinking that you take these things too seriously. And Peter is saying, those are scoffers. But he's also gives us another characteristic, that they are following their own ungodly passions. Jude has already said about this in verse 16, about how these are following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters showing favoritism to get advantage. And again in verse 18, he repeats the phrase using 16, that they are following their own ungodly passion. And Jude is basically saying, these false teachers who've come into the church, this issue of following their own ungodly passion is so basic to their nature because they have no fear of God in them. And so they easily meddle into this ungodly passion because it's so basic to their nature. And instead of being spiritually minded, they tend to deception in order to gain advantage for themselves. Their priority is to satisfy self. They're not thinking so much of God's people, the individuals that they're shepherding. They're thinking of themselves. How can I gain advantage for myself? How can I use this environment or this situation for myself? And Judas, they are following their own ungodly passions. And he says, tied to that they cause divisions. It is these who cause divisions, Jude tells us. Individuals who are following their own ungodly passions, they have no problem to cause division in the church of Christ as long as it works for their advantage. It works for their gain. And yet the Bible is very clear throughout the yet these ungodly people, these false teachers, they don't care where there are divisions. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 16, verse 13, warns us to take note of those who bring divisions in the church and avoid them. You also note in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 again, it's addressed to a division between individuals in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, again, it shows a division in the church. I belong to this one, I belong to that one. And Paul is saying, no, 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 this should not be the case in the church. There must be unity. And in Ephesians 4, verse 3, we are told to strive for the unity in the bond, in the spirit, in the bond of peace, to strive for it. And there in Ephesians we are told, as long as it depends on you, do everything to maintain the unity in the body of Christ. And if the unity is maintained, the result is that the world will see that Jesus is the Son of God, the church is the beloved of God, and the gospel is the message of salvation. See how these individuals live in unity. But when there are divisions in the church, it's amazing how even the people of the world begin to look at the church and say, but what is happening? When there are divisions in the church, the gospel is what is at stake. Because it's no longer attractive to the world. Because the world realized that if this would be happening among the people who claim that they are God's children, and that's true, that happens also in our circles, in our community, what's the need of joining them? The Lord Jesus Christ tells us, by this, the world will know if you have love one for the other. But the false teachers, they don't care, as Jude tells us, even if there are divisions in the body of Christ, if it works for them, they are okay with it. But also see that he goes on to say, these are worldly people. It's best to say these are sensual people. These are individuals who are self-centered, who only think of themselves. And because they're self-centered, they're being corrupted by wrong desires. Pursuing anything which is sensual, as long as it works for them. And Jude finally just nails it all in verse 19. And the last part he says, they are devoid of the Spirit. It's basically saying these individuals do not have the Spirit of God, and therefore they're lost. They have no interest in the things of the Spirit because they do not have the Spirit. They are lost. And that's why they don't care where they deceive in. They don't care, they use others to get to have gain. They don't have the Spirit of God. They are devoid of the Spirit. And therefore, that's why they do what they do. And Jude is saying, one way to be alert as a church is recognize them and know these false teachers. Recognize them and know them. And then as we'll be seeing next Lord's Day, the Lord willing, he begins to show us how we, in fact he challenges us how to respond to this false teaching. How we must respond as he begins verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hurting even the garment stained by the flesh. He's saying that's how we must respond to the threat of apostasy in the church. As we conclude, we need to ask ourselves this question. Why is it important for us to remember what the apostles predicted? Why is it important? It is important because we see that in the teachings of the apostles, we are constantly warned about the threat of false teachers in the church. Constantly warned about this infiltration of false teachers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to remember what the apostles of Christ taught, what the scriptures teach, and the word of God is always the answer to these threats. To know the word of God, that's what will help us. It will respond to these threats of false teaching in the church. And if we are living in the last times, and all the things that the apostles said or foretold, we are seeing it today. Brethren, this is not the time to forsake the assembly together. As Hebrew tells us, this is not the time to give up on spiritual discipline when all these threats are around us. This is the time to live our Christian lives, holding on to the truth of the scriptures, and trusting God to use us to show the world that we treasure the scriptures and we are willing to be guided and controlled by the scriptures. This is not the time to give up on spiritual disciplines. This is not the time to begin to live as if you belong to the world. When every day you are seeing what is being done in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is totally unbiblical. This is the time to encourage one another. Even as we look forward, or as Jude puts it, as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do so, let the words of the hymn that we'll be singing in closing be our prayer. Though the world has forsaken God, treads a different path, leaves a different road. I walk the road that the Savior trod, and let all know I live under Jesus Christ. They are watching, marking all that I'm doing. Oh God, please, let them see the Savior as he shines in me. Let him control me.